Secretary Regan, after the Commerce Department published its new gross national product figures for the last quarter, we had a welter of different interpretations of what it means. I'd like to ask you whether, in the words of Donald Regan, it means the economy is going to come roaring back, or whether, in the words of Donald Regan, it means the economy is still dead in the water.
Well, I think that what we have here, we're right at the turning point in the economy. Which it'll be remains to be seen. We had two very bad down quarters, the last quarter of 81, the first quarter of 82. We've had now a recovery in the second quarter. Will all depend upon how the third and fourth quarters come about. I still expect that we're going to have a decent recovery in this economy.
From CBS News, Washington, Face the Nation on the CBS Radio Network. A spontaneous and unrehearsed news interview with the Secretary of the Treasury, Donald Regan. Secretary Regan will be questioned by CBS News correspondent Susan Spencer, by Jonathan Furbringer, economics reporter for the New York Times, and by the moderator, CBS News correspondent George Herman. But first, here is George Herman.
Donald Thomas Regan was born December 21st, 1918, making him 63 years old. He was born in Cambridge, Massachusetts, the son of a railroad worker. Regan attended Cambridge Latin School and won a scholarship to Harvard, where he was a classmate of John F. Kennedy. At Harvard, Regan organized a guide service to show tourists around Boston. That helped him to meet expenses, and it also left him with a nice little nest egg when he graduated after majoring in English. Regan put that nest egg down on his entry into Harvard Law School. But when America entered World War II, he quit, halted his study of law to enlist in the U.S. Marines as an officer candidate. He saw action in some of the toughest Marine battles of the Pacific, and he retired from the Corps in 1946 as a lieutenant colonel. At that time, Regan felt he could not afford to go back to law school, so he checked around looking into all the major businesses which offered education programs, and he selected Merrill Lynch as the one best suited to his requirements. Regan graduated in the company's 1946 class, and he began what is now one of those famous progressions up the corporate ladder to the top, and in his case, even a little bit beyond the top. Merrill Lynch moved Regan from job to job until he had wide experience in almost every part of the securities business. He worked in Washington, New York City, Philadelphia, and ended up back in New York, helping to promote the company's diversification into other fields besides stockbrokering. Regan himself acquired a reputation as a sort of maverick as he sought to encourage free market competition and the entry of securities companies into the banking world. On December 11, 1980, President Reagan named Regan his Secretary of the Treasury, despite opposition from some of the president's conservative supporters, and Regan has become the president's chief economic spokesman. Donald Regan is an enthusiastic golfer. He's known as a private family man. He and his wife have two sons and two daughters.
And now we continue with Face the Nation.
Secretary Regan, you say that you believe the economy is in a period of transition from recession to recovery. But some of the people we talk to when they're off the record in the administration, even in the White House, express some pessimism that it's going to be a healthy and a long-term recovery. Some of them seem to expect just a slight upward flip and then back down again. What is your feeling?
Well, I think it depends upon interest rates, George. If we can get interest rates down, and they have started down in the last several weeks, to where businesses can make a decent profit, where it will pay people to start building homes again, things of that nature, then we're going to have a very sustained and long recovery. If interest rates remain high, however, the recovery won't be that great.
Are interest rates going to keep coming down, Mr. Secretary? Short-term interest rates have dropped some, but long-term interest rates are still quite high, and those are the key to a long-term recovery.
Well, we're going through a process now of the budget with an accent on how much federal spending we're going to do and what the resulting federal deficit will be. The markets are watching this sort of thing. If we're going to continue to have very high deficits and a very loose monetary policy, then people are afraid of inflation coming back. Interest rates will remain high. I think, however, that if the Congress is responsible and does its duty, and if the Federal Reserve maintains a sensible monetary policy, I think we can get interest rates down.
Mr. Secretary, the last act of Congress in this budget process was the Senate passing a $100 billion tax bill. What is your assessment of what that's going to do to the recovery? A lot of people say that you've basically turned your back on supply-side economics right now.
No, we haven't turned our back on supply-side economics at all. If you notice what we did, we very carefully crafted that bill. Senator Dole was great in the way that he was able to get it passed in the Senate this last Thursday. What we've done there is to have an accent on tax collection, tax compliance, as well as closing certain loopholes. There are very few new taxes, and as far as the individual is concerned, practically no new taxes for any individual.
But the point is that this money is not going to be available for savings and investment, and that was the whole premise of Reaganomics, was you told us last year we had to cut taxes, and in your words, a tremendous expansion would result. And now we seem to be exactly changing signals.
No, we haven't in any way violated the individual tax cut of last year. The individual tax cut went through on July 1st of this year, $32 billion, and another one is scheduled for next year on July 1st of 1983. So we haven't done any damage to that. As far as business is concerned, yes, we took back some, but mainly from different types of industries that heretofore had enjoyed some advantages in the tax code that may have been unintentional.
But Mr. Secretary, the premise of Reaganomics was much more simply put, at least during the campaign and the time immediately thereafter, and that was that it was time less money was taken out of the private sector and put into government and more money was put back into the private sector. Doesn't matter so much where it goes, does it? You were just talking about the whole sector and putting money back into the private sector. Now you're taking it out again, $100 billion worth.
Well, from the point of view of the fact that taxes are owed to us, let's take this withholding on interest and dividends. That's not a new tax. People have been supposed to pay taxes on interest and dividends. The fact is they have not been paying their right share. All we're doing here is collecting better on those, and that amounts to some $4 billion of that tax package in 1 year. Now, as far as some of the other measures are concerned, reporting of capital gains, this is going to be done now by brokers reporting on who's been selling stock. We'll get our share of that.
I understand, but the premise is you are getting more money out of the private sector and back into government again.
Yes, but on the other hand, people say to us, get your deficits down. They say to us that you're going to crowd out those who want to borrow money if you don't get those deficits down. We've gone quite a way in both cuts and some revenue increases. There's $378 billion that's coming out of the federal deficits over the next 3 years as a result of this budget resolution and this revenue raiser.
How can you avoid another tax increase next year, just like this one?
Oh, very easily. I think that next year, with the economy recovering, our revenues will be running along reasonably well. Our forecast is that the budget deficit will be lower next year than it will be this year. I don't think we have to have a tax increase again next year.
Mr. Secretary, going back to the outlook for the economy, the administration is due this week to release a mid-year economic forecast, which even Murray Weidenbaum, the administration's top economist, thinks is too optimistic for the rest of this year and maybe going into next year. Why is the president going ahead with a forecast like that, and is it honest to the American people to present a forecast that the administration's top economists think is too optimistic?
Sure. From this point of view, an economic forecast by the administration is a consensus view among many people, not just one. Each has his own point of view. I might think it's a little bit on the bearish side, and that is that it's not revealing that the economy would come back even better. Somebody else might have a different point of view, and those views are reconciled, and therefore you have the administration's position. Now, what this will be this week is an update of our February figures based upon what has happened so far in 1982, and the resulting figures will be somewhere fairly close to what is in the House and Senate budget resolutions that were passed by the Congress about 3 weeks ago.
What's the deficit?
But both economists in the administration and on Capitol Hill now think that those forecasts are too optimistic. Why hasn't the administration changed them? Is it just to keep the deficits at lower numbers?
No, far from it. The administration honestly believes that this is the type of recovery it will have. And the figures that the administration is talking about and the Congress is currently using are figures that are modest by recoveries in any other period in post-World War II history.
Just one more thing here. Why do you say that the administration thinks that this is the kind of recovery that we're going to have, especially in the next two quarters, when Murray Weidenbaum and Secretary of Commerce Baldrige and other people in the administration say that's not the case?
Well, they're on one side, others of us are on the other side, and this is somewhere in between.
Mr. Secretary, you said a couple of times, I might think things are going to be better. Was that hypothetical, or do you actually find yourself more sanguine than some of the other administration folks?
I'd like to believe that our recovery will be stronger than the figures reveal, but I go along with the consensus forecast.
You're sanguine that this will be a long-term healthy recovery?
Oh, yes. I'm very definitely positive on that. I think that we can and will have a good recovery here in the United States over the next several years.
Mr. Secretary, you've made, the administration has made the prediction a year ago that we'd have a strong recovery in 1982, which we have not had. You were predicting earlier in this year that the recovery would, the economy would come roaring back in the second quarter. Why should we believe another forecast that the economy is going to come back strongly when it just hasn't? It keeps being delayed.
No, it hasn't been delayed. It's exactly on schedule for what we said. We said that the first quarter of this year would be a down quarter. It was. We said the recovery would start to come about in the second quarter. It did. We said the third and fourth quarters would be good quarters of recovery, and I'm sure they will be.
But that's not what you said originally. That was your first revision of your forecast, Mr. Secretary. The original forecast for 1982 was strong growth starting in the first quarter of 1982.
Yes.
And that was changed.
That was made back in July of 1981, long before we knew that we were in a recession. One has to keep updating as you see what the facts are. This recession came along, was much deeper than we had originally thought it would be. The net result is that we did change. But as far as the second revision, we've stuck to this now for about 9 months. We've been saying the same thing.
Sir, you mentioned a little while ago that this is all coming out, the forecast is coming out, and you said there'll be revisions of the deficit figure. What is the deficit figure now for 1983, in the administration's opinion at least?
Well, based upon the, and assuming that the budget reconciliation process does go through as the Congress would have it, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of about $110 to $114 billion, I believe.
And what is it in the later years?
In the later years, it starts coming down. It's somewhere in the 90s, as I recall the figures, in 1984, and then in the 70s, or high 60s in 1985.
Secretary, in addition to Murray Weidenbaum, Chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors, you had another resignation from the Council. You've had two resignations of economics experts from the Treasury Department, your own bureau, some in the State Department. Are the economic economists who may differ and disagree with you deserting the ship at this point?
No, I don't think that. If you notice what each one of them has said as they leave, that they are not disagreeing with our policy. Most of these economists come from academia. They have to go back in order to maintain their positions and the like. In addition to which, all of them have been making personal financial sacrifices coming here. Some of them haven't been blessed as some of the others of us in the administration are with having acquired wealth before we came to the administration. They must go back. They have children in college. Anyone knows the expenses of that, and they simply can't make it on their salaries. That's why they've chosen to do other things.
I'd like to go back to something you said a minute ago. You said the recovery is basically on schedule, and yet your department and OMB are apparently conducting a review with an eye toward possible changes in economic policy after the election. What is going to trigger any kind of change in Reaganomics, and what are the options? options that you're thinking about.
Well, it's not just economics that we're studying. We're studying all kinds of different things that are happening in the United States. The new ideas such as the flat tax, ideas about the Federal Reserve System. Are there any number of things that we're studying? And why are we studying these? Well, first of all, we're asked a lot of questions, not only by the press, but by the Congress, as to what our positions are on these issues. So we have to be ready with studies rather than just giving a top-of-the-head answers. So that's what we're doing. We're reviewing all of these things to see what options are open to us, what things can and should we be doing to better this country.
Well, are you planning changes in policy then, or are you just looking at things?
We're not planning any changes in the president's policies. The president's policies are fixed. He knows what he wants. We have the four pillars in which we came in. We're going to stick to those.
But one of the studies of options that you personally ordered was what can be done to give the administration a little more input into the Federal Reserve Board and Chairman Volcker. Have you come to any decision on that, or is that dead in the water, so to speak?
No, it's not dead in the water. That study is still underway, and it should be coming out sometime this fall. Whether we'll do anything about it or what the study will say, I don't know at this point.
Realistically,
Secretary, you've been sort of all over the board on the Federal Reserve. You've been happy with the Federal Reserve at some times, and you've been unhappy with the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve just announced its new targets for the rest of this year and next year. Are you happy with what the Fed's doing now? And will they allow an opportunity for a strong recovery?
I don't think you've heard me say anything bad about the Federal Reserve in the last several months. I'm quite satisfied with what they are doing currently.
Well, you've talked about their volatility causing the high interest rates.
Well, I just call the obvious.
The obvious sometimes can be something bad about the Fed.
As far as their targets are concerned, I think that their targets for next year are good ones. I think that is sufficient money to keep the recovery going and in order to fuel what we need for getting our unemployment down, things of that nature.
Is it your personal expectation that interest rates will continue to come down?
Yes, but not straight down. They never plummet like a stone. There will be a sawtooth pattern on the way, but definitely I feel over the long range interest rates definitely will come down.
One of the things that affects the American economy, I mean, we don't live on an island, although we used to think it was an island, is our relations, our economic relations with our trading partners in Europe. They're in some disarray over the president's pipeline sanctions. Are we in danger of having some problems in our own economy if there should be a sort of a French Foreign Minister Chaisson called a progressive divorce between American business and European business?
Incidentally, it's curious that both he and Chancellor Schmidt both used the family as an example,
This
was a squabble within the family, that type of thing. There are bound to be differences among nations who are allies and trading partners.
But divorces can be very expensive.
This is one. I don't think there's going to be a divorce. I think this will be smoothed out. But it will take time to do it.
How can you?
Obviously, they don't like what our decision was, but we don't like what they're doing. So we'll just have to try to harmonize.
You're a free market advocate. How can you go along with this? And when the Arabs did this, we called it a blacklist, and it was terrible. Now, how can you support this?
Well, there are some things that override a free economy, and that's called a free nation. We wish ours to remain a free nation. We have a definitely hostile threat from the Soviets. And as far as we're concerned, anything that's done to improve the Soviet economy and improve the Soviet nation will eventually hurt and could harm us. So we have to look to a strong defense first.
Both Italy and France have now said they're going to defy the ban on the Soviet pipeline technology. What is the administration going to do now? Is there anything you can do?
Well, we have it under study as to exactly what. This has just happened. The Italians didn't announce this until yesterday. We're not going to have a quick reaction. After all, in the family, you tend to treat things a little more slowly and study them out. We'll be in touch with them.
What is the input of your new agency, the Senior International Group or whatever its title is, on studying this kind of problem?
Well, what's happened here, George, is the president announced last week that he wants to have all of these economic matters in the international sector as they affect our foreign policy to be coordinated by one group. He's asked me to chair that group and to take the lead in it. The Secretary of State will be the vice chairman of the group, and on it will be Secretary of Defense, Agriculture, Commerce, the special trade representative and certain of the White House agencies. Now, what this means is we will be seeing how our economic policies, both domestic and international, affect foreign policy. And to the extent that they do, we'll be bringing these to the National Security Council for discussion and ultimate decision by the president. And also, there's a need to coordinate what we're doing with our domestic policies and what we're doing with our international policies. Since I'm already coordinating our domestic policies, in the person of the Secretary of the Treasury, will now try to pull the two of them together.
That reminds me, I'm not sure I ever got an answer to my preceding question, which was whether you think this fuss with the Europeans over the pipeline sanctions is going to harm our economy in any measurable way.
Our own economy?
Yes.
Well, it'll have a minor effect on our own economy, but nothing severe and nothing substantial.
Mr. Secretary, could you get back to the tax cut quickly? Do you have any reservations about any of the provisions that are in the tax increase, that was passed by the Senate last week?
Yeah, there's one that troubles me quite a bit, troubles the administration quite a bit also, and that's the one regarding Puerto Rico. In this, some of the tax advantages that corporations, drug companies, electronic companies, and the like had, if they would put plants in Puerto Rico, are taken away by this bill. Since unemployment is running very high in Puerto Rico, I don't think that's a wise provision at this time, and we'll be trying to work with the House to see if we can eliminate that or lessen the impact of what has been done.
How about the lessening of the deduction for the three martini lunch? As a former Wall Street broker, do you think that's a good idea?
Well, let's not confuse that with what the previous administration wanted to do. This one came up in the middle of the night, literally. It's one that we in the administration did not suggest, have had very little time to focus on. I think it came about as a result of something we did want not happening. And
that
is,
do you support it?
That is, well, we think that we want to get at the question of tips and cash tips that are not being reported by those who work in restaurants, bars, and the like. That was defeated. This is a substitute for it. I think in conference, some type of reconciliation can be made between these two ideas.
Does the administration support what the Senate did, lessening the deductions for the three martini lunch or not?
I think that the administration will go along with it, and let's see what the House is going to do. I think there'll be a different version in the House.
Would you be pushing a different version in the House?
I will be watching it. I'm not sure exactly what the House is going to do.
I'm asking what you're going to do when you talk to Mr. Michael and Mr. Conable and other Republicans in the House.
I think we'll be asking them how do they stand on the tip provision and whether or not that can succeed in getting through the House. If not, we'll have to look at this other as an alternative.
In other words, you would prefer that the tip provision be adopted as opposed to any decrease in deductions for what we've all come to call the three martini lunch.
Well, I know that's a term of derision. I've always thought as a business person that legitimate business entertainment is a proper deduction. I don't think that you have to go to extremes on this type of stuff. I've always been very careful in handling expense accounts in the firm for which I worked to make certain that proper procedure was observed. I think that this particular one could do some harm to a service industry that's part of America, the food and beverage industry. So I think we have to be very careful here. But nonetheless, something has to be done to get this revenue that's due to us.
You mentioned unemployment in Puerto Rico. Do you think now, with this possible turnaround in the GNP, that unemployment in the United States is going to hit 10% or go above 10%?
I don't know for certain. I'm hopeful that it will not. The indications on a weekly basis are that unemployment claims are coming down. I hope that that means total unemployment will be down.
One of the things that we haven't mentioned yet is the balanced budget amendment. The momentum for that seems to be growing on Capitol Hill, despite the fact that a lot of people say it's a political sham and it wouldn't ever happen were this not an election year. The Democrats have labeled this a sneak attack on Social Security, saying that you couldn't balance the budget without gutting entitlements and social programs, including Social Security. Could you defend this?
Defend the balanced budget amendment? Mm-hmm. Certainly. I think that's an idea whose time has come. we don't seem to be able to control the spending process in the federal government.
What happens to social programs?
As far as the social programs, they don't have to be gutted in order to accomplish a balanced budget. You just have to look at what you're spending money for and where you want to put your priorities with what you have. Any family that's on a budget understands completely what I'm saying there.
But we have a $100 billion deficit, and this provision says you can't raise taxes. You're not going to cut the military. Well, where else do you go for this money were this amendment to be adopted?
Well, there are plenty of places in the non-defense discretionary where further cuts can be made in order to reduce this. And if we have a healthy economy, we're going to be collecting more taxes.
Do you think they're going to have to be, while the economy is recovering, there's going to have to be some slight adjustment downward in the Pentagon budget?
I think the Pentagon has agreed to cut, working with the president earlier this year. I think that they cut enough from that. I think we should stay where we are with these new cuts.
Mr. Secretary, what will interest rates be at the end of the year?
John, I spent 35 years in Wall Street ducking that question. I'm not going to say anything now that would make it that precise. No one can do it. All I'll say is they'll be somewhat less, quite a bit less than they are now.
Do you have any qualms at all, back to the balanced budget for a minute? There were some Republicans on the Hill who expressed the opinion privately that they were somewhat embarrassed by the president coming up and talking about a balanced budget when he's got a budget that's got a $100 billion deficit for the next 2 years. Do you have no qualms at all about the apparent hypocrisy of all this?
No, it's not hypocrisy. That's reality. We're faced with a budget that's out of balance due to the fact that we've gotten inflation down and because we have a recession, primarily. If we can cut spending, we can get those reductions down. From my point of view, we need a balanced budget in order to control the Congress.
And you're going to need it fairly soon. It will take some time to pass a balanced budget amendment through all the states. Can the administration and Congress together balance a budget in the meanwhile?
Hopefully, that's what we're aiming toward. Whether or not we achieve it, a lot will depend over the next 5 years.
What does it look like ahead? When is your target date for a balanced budget?
It's out now in the 86-87 area, but as you know, that's very imprecise.
Okay, and on that imprecise note, thank you very much, Secretary Reagan, for being our guest today on Face the Nation.